a summary of the Bible's teaching about assurance, Articles 8 through 10. So it's not by their own merits or strength, but by God's undeserved mercy that they neither forfeit faith and grace totally, nor remain in their downfalls to the end and are lost. With respect to themselves, this not only easily could happen, but also undoubtedly would happen. But with respect to God, it cannot possibly happen, since His plan cannot be changed, His promise cannot fail, the calling according to His purpose cannot be revoked, the merit of Christ as well as His interceding and preserving cannot be nullified, and the sealing of the Holy Spirit can neither be invalidated nor wiped out. The assurance of this preservation. Concerning this preservation of those chosen to salvation, and concerning the perseverance of true believers in faith, believers themselves can and do become assured in accordance with the measure of their faith, by which they firmly believe that they are and always will remain true and living members of the church, and that they have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. The ground of this assurance, accordingly, this assurance does not derive from some private revelation beyond or outside the Word, but from faith in the promises of God, which He has very plentifully revealed to us in His Word for our comfort. From the testimony of the Holy Spirit, testifying with our spirit that we are God's children and heirs. And finally, from a serious and holy pursuit of a clear conscience and of good works. And if God's chosen ones in this world did not have this well-founded comfort, that the victory will be theirs, and this reliable guarantee of eternal glory, they would, of all people, be most miserable. Well, let's turn in our Bibles to that great chapter on Christian assurance, Romans 8. Romans 8, 12 through 17 and 28 through 39. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. Ahead a few verses to 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God bless us through this reading and hearing of His Word this afternoon and work the full assurance of faith in our hearts through His Holy Spirit. brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. The full assurance of faith is the best friend a Christian can have in this world. It's a very blessed gift. When Paul was suffering for the gospel, what gave him the strength? What gave him the motivation to continue? How did the Holy Spirit cause him to persevere? By giving him assurance. Paul said, that's why I suffer as I do. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why is he not ashamed? Why is he willing to suffer? Here's the answer. 2 Timothy 1:12. For I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him until that day. It's because I know whom I have believed and that he will hold on to me. That I'm not ashamed of the gospel and I'm willing to suffer. Full assurance of faith was his best friend as a missionary. When Romanian pastor Joseph Tsan, under communism several years ago, was threatened with death by his communist interrogator in prison. He was threatened with death and Joseph Tsan replied, Sir, your supreme weapon is killing. My supreme weapon is dying. If you kill me, all the sermons that I've preached will be sprinkled with blood and they will speak 10 times louder than now. So go on, kill me. I will win the supreme victory and go to be with my Lord. How did the Lord give Joseph Tsan strength to persevere under great pressure? He gave him that special friend called the full assurance of faith. Pastor Joseph knew that without a doubt he was Jesus' child and Jesus was his. I am his and he is mine. And that gave him confidence to offer his life fully to the Lord. And that's why we need to study that blessed gift of assurance this afternoon, brothers and sisters, and to learn to enjoy this gift of God and pray that we will have true and growing assurance of salvation. Because in our secularizing culture where the battle gets heavier, Christian assurance is not a luxury liner in a comfortable cruise. It's morale for a soldier fighting for his life. And it's a gift of God. Let's pursue it. Let's enjoy it. What is it, first of all? How do you get it? Secondly, what will it do for you? Thirdly, blessed assurance. What is it? Romans 8 is known to be one of the greatest Bible passages on blessed assurance. And it ends verses 38 and 39 in that great climax of assurance. For I am convinced, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor anything in all creation is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God. That's perseverance, the perseverance of the saints. Nothing can separate us. But assurance is found in the first three words, or four words, for I am convinced. Being convinced that you will persevere. Being persuaded that you will hang on. Being totally sure that God will keep you. That's assurance. Often Christians struggle with doubt. I do. We doubt we're God's children. We wonder whether He really loves us because of the things we say, do, and think. We question whether the faith that's in us is the real thing and whether that faith will survive all the way to the end, because you know in the parable of the sower, not all the seed that is sown produces a crop that lasts. Some is short term. It's not real faith. It's shallow. It's superficial. It's not really faith in Christ, but just looking from away from my life to be better. And that will be shown, proved over time, not to be the real thing. Well, maybe that's mine. But beloved God, through His Word and Spirit, does not want us to waver. He does not want us to be thrown around, tossed to and fro by doubt. But seek that blessed gift of assurance that He gives. Assurance of preservation and perseverance. Because true biblical Christianity is a religion of grace. Therefore, it's a religion of assurance and confidence. Because if my salvation depends on God's grace and mercy from beginning to end, then my salvation stands on a sure foundation, a solid foundation, a divine foundation, which cannot shake. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Because it's a religion of grace. It's totally built on God's work, and therefore it's built on certainty, an unshakable foundation. But if my salvation in any part of my journey from the beginning to the end rests even a little bit on my own faith and my own effort, my own work, all my assurance will go out the window, because it's just that part that depends on me. That's where I'm going to fall. Article 8 in chapter 5 of the Canons of Dort is right on when it says, if it were left to us, we not only easily could, but undoubtedly would fall away. The reason why there's certainty is because faith doesn't rest in my work. No, faith doesn't even rest in my faith, which is up and down. But faith rests in the faithfulness of God. He who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1 verse 6. The saints' perseverance is rooted in God's preservation. And that's where faith puts all its confidence and boasting, in the work of God who began and will finish. He's the author and finisher, as John Newton taught us to sing. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far. 'Tis grace will lead me home. 'Tis grace the whole way. And that's the way God's salvation works, beloved. It's the mercy of God that saves a sinner. But it's also the mercy of God that keeps a sinner saved all the way to the end. And keeps you believing all the way home. And even when you fall away, that your faith doesn't get totally extinguished. But God will revive it. Even as we saw last week. Even if it takes His disciplining love, His pressing His heavy hand on you and make you miserable. Assurance rests in the following divine certainties, stressed in Romans 8. I'm going to give you six certainties quickly that we read in Romans 8 that form the foundation for assurance. Again, the foundation lies in the certainty of God. Assurance is the sense of confidence that I get from that foundation. What are the six certainties? Number one, the unchanging purpose of God. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. His purpose for you cannot be revoked. Whatever comes your way, He will use it to do you good, not evil. Secondly, the divine certainty of God's unbreakable plan. For, it says, those whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Those whom He predestined, He called. Those He called, He justified. Those He called, justified, He glorified. The unbreakable plan of God, He chose you from eternity and predestined you to be conformed to the image of His Son. And God doesn't change His mind. That's another uncertainty, or another certainty, divine certainty of assurance. His unchanging purpose, His unbreakable plan. Thirdly, His unlimited power, verse 31. So if God is for you, who can be against you? Though hell rise up to beat you down, God is on your side. You're on God's side. No weapon, says Isaiah, no weapon against you shall prevail. That's the third divine certainty on which assurance rests, unlimited power of God. Fourthly, the valuable purchase of Christ, verse 32. God, who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not, along with Him, freely give you all things? Look. The gift of Jesus is proof for you that God's not going to leave you with a lurch, believer. If He would give you His best, His Son, He will give you all the rest that you need. The purchase of your salvation through Christ's blood, the gift of the Son of God, the beloved one and only Son of God, is another divine certainty. The unchanging purpose of God, the unbreakable plan of God, the unlimited power of God, the valuable purchase of Christ. Verse 34, the effective prayers of Christ. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Verse 33, it's God who justified, then who can condemn? And the answer is nobody, because Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who's raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and he's praying for you. And every prayer he offers for you is bought with his blood, is a perfect defense for your never dying soul in all your troubles and tribulations. Those prayers for you cover you so completely that no argument can come against the prayers of Christ, the effective prayers of Christ. And one more thing, the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of God in Christ Jesus is a love that will not leave you alone and will not let you go and will carry you all the way to glory. These divine certainties make assurance real and possible and attainable. And that's what we look at. Secondly, not only are there these divine certainties that will cause us to persevere to the end and to be preserved by our God, but God, because of a special love that he has for us, wants us to know these certainties and be assured of them. He wants us to be able to say, there is the perseverance of the saints, yes. But there's also that I am convinced that I will persevere. That I'm persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God. And so how do we receive this gift of blessed assurance? He wants us, God wants us to be assured. He provides this gift. Well, first, let's see how you don't receive assurance. There's two no-nos which wreck true assurance. The one is mysticism. We've talked about that before. The other is assumptionism. Two no-nos for full assurance of faith. Two false ways that people think they have assurance, but they don't. Mysticism is looking for a special message from God, a special sign from heaven, a special experience in your life, some special coincidence that happened to you. I just about died in that accident, but God spared me, therefore I must be going to heaven. Oh, wait, no, maybe you're on your way to hell, and he's just giving you an alarm. These are no proof. These are false routes to assurance. God doesn't give you a special text message from heaven. I tell you in a dream tonight that you're going to be saved. Mysticism is seeking another track to God. He wants you to rest on his promises in the power of the Spirit, not on your dreams and imaginations and feelings and experiences and coincidences. That's mysticism. Article 10 says it so well. Assurance does not derive from some private revelation beyond or outside the Word of God. That's one false root. That's one non-way to assurance. The other non-way is assumptionism. You just assume you're going to heaven. You just assume you're going to survive the journey, that you're going to get there, without actually seeking the gift of the full assurance of faith in a biblical way. You roll along merrily without ever testing whether your claim to be a Christian is true. You might be faking it. You might be a total hypocrite. And just assume you're on your way to heaven and you've never bothered checking it out in the power of the Spirit with the help of your God. No. Here's the right way. Assurance is a wonderful gift of God that must be sought after in a biblical manner. We read that in Romans 8. Assurance is the gift of the Spirit. Romans 8 verse 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. He talks to us. He convinces us. He witnesses to your inner spirit, small s. The Holy Spirit, capital S. Witnesses to your inner spirit, your inner life, small s. To convince you that you are God's child. And verse 17 of Romans 8, that you're an heir of God and you're a co-heir with Christ. And that as you share in his sufferings now, you will share in his glory later. But the real question is, how does the Holy Spirit witness to your heart, to your spirit? And again, the answer is not through dreams or through powerful impressions as you're walking out there in the field. or amazing coincidences or experiences in your life. Here's how he witnesses to you, through his word. He witnesses to you through his word in two ways. Number one, he draws your attention to the promises, the sweet and precious promises of God. And as you lay in the bed of those promises, you're strengthened, you're encouraged, you're helped, you're given assurance. He shows you the faithful character of your God, the unchanging sure promises of your God, and tells you to rest there. He always brings you to Christ, the Holy Spirit. Christ's person, Christ's work, Christ's promises, Christ's word. And in all your failures and frustrations and temptations and persecutions, the Spirit says, run to the promises. And as you rest in them, I'm going to talk to you through them. And I'm going to assure you that the Lord is a strong tower and an unbreakable hiding place and fortress. Listen, there are so many good promises. And really what we ought to do is say, could you, especially if we're struggling with assurance, could you give me a list of your five favorite promises of Scripture to help me with my wavering faith? Because I want to grow in my assurance. Well, that is a search, a pursuit that will not leave you empty. Here are some. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Or Isaiah 46, 3 and 4. Listen, O house of Jacob, you whom I've carried from before your birth, I've carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he, and to your gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made you, and I will bury you. I will carry you, and I will save you. And the other promises we've been talking about, Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will no wise turn away. Those who trust in me, says God, will not be put to shame. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. I know my sheep, they will never perish. No one will snatch them from my hand. My Father is greater than I. Nobody can snatch them from my Father's hand. John 10, 28 and 29. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to the day of completion in Christ Jesus. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the promises go on and on and on. Do you know that's how Paul got assurance? I just think of Paul. He could have rested in his super spiritual experiences. He received revelations from angels. He did many miracles. He was caught up to the third heaven. But he didn't base his assurance on those experiences he had. He knew Judas Iscariot had some of the same stuff, and he went to hell. Where did Paul put his assurance? What did he base it on? I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. I know whom I have believed. It's my Jesus. I rest in him. He's faithful. He's certain. He has promised me to keep me, and he will keep that which I've committed. The life that I've given to him, he will hold on to that and will not let me go. The great Paul stood foursquare on the promises of the character and the work and the word of Jesus. That's where the Spirit brought him and witnessed to him. So he could say, yes, I am persuaded. The other way the Spirit works, one is to drive you to the promises of God. He works through the word in two ways. The other is to put your life in the mirror of God's word and say, how do I compare to what a Christian looks like in the Bible? The Bible says you will want to grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I want to grow? The Bible says that you will hate your sin, be frustrated by it. The Spirit will convict you of it. Do I hate my sin? Do I want to get rid of it? Do I look like a Christian? The Bible says, grow in all the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. But is that what I want for my life? I compare that to the Bible and I say, yes, The Spirit is living in me to want to become conformed to the image of Christ. I must be a Christian. But don't stay too long looking at yourself, because pretty soon you'll also see your blemishes. And then you must run back to number one, the promises. As the Puritans like to say, for every one look at yourself, take 100 looks at Jesus. But still, it's important to compare yourself to the Bible. And faith is assured through the fruits of the Spirit in your life. It's also true, brothers and sisters, that where you're indulging sin in your life, if you're living in sin, if you're living in a pattern of sin, and you talk about assurance or are looking for it, you're not going to get it. The Spirit does not produce assurance in a life that is indulging sin. I'm not saying that means you're not a Christian, but you'll have no comfort of assurance unless you confess your sin, become brokenhearted before the Lord, run again to the promises, look for forgiveness, seek the work of the Spirit to change you, and then as you do so, you will grow in your real assurance of faith. The Spirit will build up your assurance more and more. When you see your ugly failures, run away from yourself, take refuge again in the character and the promises of your God in Christ, and you'll grow. Well, let's see, thirdly, what does assurance do for you? I said at the beginning, full assurance of faith is the Christian's best friend, and you need it, and I need it. Assurance does not make you spiritually lazy. It does not lead you to say, I'm going to get there anyway, so I can just relax, sit back and relax and live as I please in a life of ease. Assurance does not produce that. It's the very opposite. It multiplies the sweetness of being a Christian. It fills up your joy. It gives you endurance in suffering. Remember what Paul says? That's why I suffer as I do, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for I am convinced. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Assurance helps you to say to your interrogator, you can kill me, but you're just fast-tracking me to victory. That's all. And that's what you see when you read Romans 8. Assurance here, full assurance of faith, is an oasis in a desert. It's a shelter in the midst of a storm. Paul is dealing with suffering. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. This is darkness. This is the battle. Death is around the corner. The interrogator's got the gun pointed at your head. Finger on the trigger. And that's where full assurance of faith is the oasis. As I said earlier, not a luxury liner on a cruise, but morale for a soldier in the midst of battle, or the sword of the Spirit when you're tempted to deny Christ because of the pain involved in confessing him. But full assurance of faith says, I'm willing to be fast-tracked to victory. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because I know the one in whom I believe, Jesus, and I'm persuaded he's going to keep me. Whatever I do to try to preserve my own life, all I can do is lose it. But if I lose my life for his sake, I gain it. That's the Christian's encouragement. Assurance is motivation. It's risk-taking, sacrificing encouragement. We need it desperately in our time to stand strong, to hold fast, to stay true to our God, to go out and serve the Lord, to be more worried about people than about money, and more worried about God than about people. We need this blessing. And God gives this blessing through his Spirit and Word, and he calls us to pursue it. And ask the Spirit to witness with your spirit through the Bible that you're a child of God, you're an heir of God and a co-heir with Christ, and as you share in his sufferings now, you're going to share in his glory later, and you have no doubt. Oh, I know assurance is part of the essence of faith itself. If you have no assurance, you have no faith, because faith itself is trusting that the Jesus you believe in will save you. But the full assurance of faith is a separate gift, an additional gift to faith, a special gift of assurance that we're looking for. We're looking for the faith, the assurance that belongs to faith, to grow and become completely sure and steadfast and free of all doubt. We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So congregation, immerse yourself in the promises of God. Grab hold of them in faith, and the Spirit will produce good works in you. And it'll also build up your confidence that He'll surely preserve your salvation and cause you to persevere in your faith to the end. May the Christian's best friend be also your best friend and mine, so we will not be ashamed, but entrust our lives entirely to the service of our God and not be afraid. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we praise You that in Your good pleasure, You've added to the certainty of the perseverance of the saints the special gift of assuring us inwardly of this certainty for our lives. Father, may the assurance of faith grow in each one of us so that we might be more motivated to live for You, more joyful in our Christian walk, more risk-taking, sacrificing children of God living in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, shining as stars in the universe as we hold out the word of life. Father, we pray that You will bless us and in this way make us more contagious as the people of God, as we brim with the hope and the joy of the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.